Heavenly Father, you know how wonderful it is to be your children, O Lord. And we're so grateful because, you know, you continue to give. When we thought that, you know, we have enough, you go beyond and surprise us with your truth and with your hands upon our lives. So it is our prayer to you that as we move into this new year, O Lord, that you will show us, you know, greater things. And that you will equip us to do greater things for you, for your name. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we begin this new year, you know, I want to talk about cycles and patterns in life and how it's extremely difficult to break out of those cycles and patterns. And the reason why it's so difficult to break out of life patterns, either harmful or harmless, is because, you know, life is made up of cycles and patterns. It's just part of life. On the lighter side, we have routines that we go through every morning when we get up to get ready. And there's a set pattern that we always go through. And there are also ways that we eat our food. You know, there are those who save the best for the last on their plates, right? Others, you know, like to eat the best part first. And of course, you know, there are also those who like to equally distribute or ration their food so that, you know, you're getting good to eat on every bite. But on a more serious note, you know, there are patterns of addictive, you know, behaviors as well that are harmful and unhealthy too. You know, for example, you know, getting into arguments, it's usually with the same person, right? And the way the argument, you know, escalates is almost identical every time. You know, patterns are hard to break. And I think both biblically and in life, the scariest, you know, at least to me, is the generational cycles or pattern. See, I believe it was the year 2002. You know, my brother and I attended a funeral of someone who had just committed suicide. And as we were driving back home, you know, my brother appeared to be very, you know, disturbed and concerned. So I asked him what was bothering him. You know, by the way, you know, my brother is also a pastor, you know, Presbyterian pastor, and he specializes in counseling. So he does a lot of counseling. But he shared with me what was bothering him. And he said that in his study of suicides, in many cases, suicides are never in isolation. That is to say, if there's a suicide, and if you are to trace back the family tree far enough, it's not uncommon to find the pattern of suicide, you know? And if it's the first one, then it can set a precedent for future generation as well. I mean, it's a very scary thing, isn't it? So we found ourselves, you know, praying, you know, hard for this family. And we see similar things in other addictive behaviors like, you know, alcoholism, right? Being passed down to the next generation, right? So patterns are very hard to break. So patterns are very powerful and it's very hard to change. But there's something that I firmly believe, okay? There's something that I firmly believe, and if I didn't, I wouldn't be standing here as a pastor. And I believe that all unhealthy and harmful patterns in life, no matter what it is, can be broken in our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Anything could be broken in Jesus Christ, and I do mean everything, right? You know, they may range from unwise spending patterns to harmful addictions, to cycles of relational frictions, to patterns of, you know, emotional ups and downs that people go through, but it doesn't matter. See, Jesus Christ, you know, he came and shed his blood on the cross and resurrected to bring us forgiveness and life so that we can be free from all these things that bind us. Not just some of the things, but all of these things that enslave us. See, it wasn't so that we could just be a respected Sunday Christian. It was so that we could be free from all things. See, Jesus is more interested in other 6 days of the week in our world, you know, when we are with our families, and when we are with our co-workers, and when we are by ourselves. But the unbelievable news is that in Christ, we can be free from all these things that entangle us, and be a child of God who is making grounds every day, changing and growing, and that's exciting, isn't it? Right? You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 states, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come, right? And here lies our hope, that Christ is working in us to make us new, you know, every day. So my prayer for all of us is that as we are moving into this new year, that we will be singing a new song, and not the same old song, but a new song. You know, and that may sound like a great idea, especially if you don't like the music or song that's playing in your life right now. But what we are talking about is not as easy as switching to another channel on your car radio or changing of a music CD, because to play a new song, it's not the song that has to change, although that's what we would like to believe. It's really the singer, the one who is making the music, has to change. See, we have to change to sing a new song this year. And that has been the key all along that can help us to sing the right tune in life. You know, therefore, it's not our circumstances. It's not. And it's not the people. It's not my limitations or weaknesses that are holding me back from making beautiful music in our lives. It has always been the position of our hearts. You know, and this year we need to change the position of our hearts so that we may make beautiful songs everywhere we go. See, we can see what I mean when we turn to Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. Here the prophet Habakkuk says, you know, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no fruit, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. You know, the Message translation by Eugene Peterson translates the last sentence as, I am singing joyful praise to God. Even though all these things are happening or not happening, I am singing joyful praise to God. I'm turning cartwheels of joy to my Savior God. And this is very important because when many people come to the end of the year, okay, and as they begin a new year, they think about all the changes that they would like to make to sing a better and happier song in their lives. And setting goals are important and needed. We need to do that. But whether we achieve those goals or not does not take anything away from who we are in Jesus Christ. And I hope all of us understand that, you know? See, our sense of self-worth is not determined by whether we get something done or not, you know, because life is a struggle for us, right? And this is what, and understanding that is what set us free to rejoice and not sucked into the unhealthy patterns of this world, right? So I don't know what kind of goals we have set for ourselves, right? But, and we should pursue those things. But the most important truth that we need to understand is that, you know, God has saved us, right? That he has given us forgiveness and he has given us life. And nothing could change that, right? You know, Romans 12, verse 2 commands us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. See, in other words, in order for us to break away from the patterns of this world, what has to change are not so much these external things, external variables, you know, because many are beyond our control, but what has to change is really our minds. And that's what will help us to sing a new song that brings joy to our hearts and bring honor to our Father in heaven. You know, in our passage, the call to sing to the Lord is repeated three times. And the last call to sing to the Lord is followed by three, you know, commands or three imperatives. The first one is to praise his name. And the second is to proclaim his salvation day to day. And the last one is to declare his glory among the nations and among all people. That is, allow God's glory and goodness to permeate, you know, throughout life. You know, to praise God's name means that, you know, we should thank him for all that he has done in our lives and for who he is. That's what praising is, you know. The words to praise and to thank are pretty much synonymous in the Bible. So if we are to turn to Psalm 100, verse 4, it sings, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give him thanks to him. Give thanks to him and praise his name. And this is what worship is, right? And when we read the following verse 5, it tells us why the psalmist is driven to praise and thanks. He explains, for the Lord is good. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That is to say, it is when we recognize God's pattern of goodness and love and the faithfulness or consistency of this pattern in our lives, that's when we are moved to singing a new song. Because what changes and renews our minds and hearts is the realization that we have much to be thankful for already toward God. And we need to understand that. You know, everything we need, everything we need to grow in Christ, God has already given to us. Nothing is holding us back except our minds. I mean, that sounds so reasonable, and yet it's not as easy as it sounds, as all of you will agree. And it is because we have tendencies to be self-absorbed. So rather than seeing what God has done and is doing in our lives, we fixate on what we are going through. You know, the sacrifices that we're making, injustice that we may encounter, right? I mean, even the great prophet Elijah wasn't exempt from feeling that way. You know, this man who went up to heaven without dying. And if we are to turn to 1 Kings, you know, chapter 19, I mean, this is right after Elijah was victorious over 450 prophets of Baal by calling down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice. And then we come to chapter 19, where God reveals himself to Elijah. He reveals himself to Elijah by passing right in front of him. And if that wasn't enough, God even whispered to him, talked to him audibly. And yet in verses 10 and verse 14 of chapter 19, this is how he replies to the Lord. And he complains, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I am the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me too. And if that wasn't bad enough, he repeats those same words twice, you know, in verse 10 and verse 14, even though he was standing in front of God Almighty, who has given him miraculous victory, you know, over the prophets of Baal. I mean, it sounds unreasonable, but it is understandable, you know, knowing our human nature, because, you know, we desire others to always listen to our story, right? We're very self-focused. You know, we want others to understand my trying circumstances. And we want others to sympathize with my life and comfort me. That's how we are, right? And that's the tune that our world is often singing. But the danger of singing such tune is that it blinds us from seeing all the wonderful things in life that God has granted and he has given us so much. I mean, what would you say if you were involved in a car accident that burned 88% of your body and lost all your fingers and 9 of your toes, and your face and body remained disfigured after, you know, enduring 45 torturous, you know, surgeries, and you still hear people making hurtful comments whenever you walk by, I mean, what would you say to that, you know? I think gratitude would be the last thing on your mind, I think. But this is what happened to, you know, this young man named Joel, you know, Sonnenberg, when he was 2 years old. A tractor trailer, you know, ran into their family car while he was standing at a toll booth. And when he turned 15 years old, the time he reached the lowest point in his life, you know, he said to his mother in exasperation that he felt like he had suffered more than Jesus did on the cross. It was that bad. But amazingly, now in his 30s, you know, married with a beautiful child, you know, his life is full of praise and thanks to God. This young man whose 88% of the body has been disfigured. I mean, he has been on Today Show twice, you know, featured on 48 Hours, starred in many PBS documentaries, and he has gone on to be an inspirational speaker at churches, schools, and many other places. And he sees himself as a vessel that highlights the power of God's love. God's love, you know. I mean, this is from a person who could never hide what he feels most insecure about, you know. And this is what he said. He said, quote, "That's my purpose, to show that God is good, that God is good, that God is so great in my life, and he loves others just as much as he loves me," unquote. See, that's a song that we don't hear every day in our world. So I want to ask you, what's holding us back from singing a new song of praise every day, you know? I mean, do we have to achieve something to sing a new song, you know? Does everything have to go our way to sing a new song? Or do we just need to open our eyes and see God's hand working, you know, in our lives? I mean, hasn't God done enough for us, you know? You know, the place to begin is always praise, you know, because that's what will open our eyes to God's goodness and love always has a way of making us, you know, beautiful music in our souls, right? I mean, there are so many songs that were motivated by love to be written. But singing a new song to the Lord most definitely involves proclaiming His salvation day to day. But what does it mean to proclaim His salvation? I mean, sure, it does mean to share the good news of Jesus Christ. But the question is, you know, how we are to share the gospel in our everyday life. That's what we need to figure out. And yes, we are to tell people that, you know, there is forgiveness and life through Jesus Christ. And that is the most important message that we could share with another person. But we are not given such opportunities, you know, every moment. Okay, well, the phrase day-to-day in verse 2 implies that we are to proclaim continually until the whole earth has heard this message. And I believe the way to carry out the command in verse 2 means that we are to live and react to all aspects of life as someone who has forgiveness and life through Jesus Christ. Okay? So we are to live our life as someone who has forgiveness and life through Jesus Christ, unlike the world that does not. So when the world discourages, we are going to encourage, and we are going to build up others. We are going to build up our families, spouses, children, right? And it's amazing how kind words spoken truthfully can bring life to someone. And although the world clings to temporary things as though its life depends on it, we will release our hold and walk away from these things to show that life we possess is far better, and that Christ, that through Jesus Christ, you know, it's there for anyone for the taking, you know, that it is available to everyone. And when the world steps on others to be on top, we will humbly seek the lowliest place to comfort and strengthen the stepped on, the rejected, and helpless, to bring them hope of life. And the hope that is in Christ will never disappoint them. And this is how we bring life to people, right? Yes, we need to share the gospel, but we need to be sharing life through all that we do. See, sharing life that is in Christ is what we are called to do at all times. And the world will call us foolish and call our works, you know, waste of time. But Isaiah 52, verse 7 says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, and who proclaim salvation." See, according to that verse, what will make us beautiful before God is not anything physical or external, but what we bring to others and what we share with them that leads to tasting life as God defines it. See, what we proclaim can either bring life or death, you know, to someone's heart. And I guess you could be neutral, okay, in what we say and what we do, but being neutral is really being indifferent, you know. You must take a stand, you know, either life or death, you know. And being neutral will not lead to life. I mean, I don't know how much time, you know, I have left in this world. You know, none of us do. But yeah, I want to spend it, you know, proclaiming life and not death. I mean, isn't that what we want? You know, don't you want people to just walk away from our presence feeling, you know, uplifted and praising God and saying that, you know, I thought that my life was pretty bad, but you know, it's not, you know, because of what Christ has done for me, you know. I mean, ultimately, you know, this message of salvation has to permeate throughout the world. And that is where we come in, you know, all of us. The last verse of our passage, you know, states that we are to declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all the people. But this is where most of the Christians, you know, come up short, you know, sharing Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. See, sharing Christ is often seen as an option. You know, it is. And we often see it as an appendage to our Christian walk. But it is, in fact, what Christianity is all about, sharing Christ. See, everything that we do in here is so that we can go out and declare what marvelous works that Jesus has accomplished on our behalf. I mean, as some of you may know, I mean, there are quite a few churches in China. And I don't mean house churches because there are, I mean, countless, you know, house churches. But the churches that I'm talking about are the, you know, the government-approved churches. And these churches are called three self-churches, right? And if you are to enter, you know, any one of these churches in China, you will basically see everything that you see here at our own church. Now, there will be singing of hymns. They will have that. They will read the scriptures. They will pray. And they will even proclaim God's word. There will be a sermon, but with one exception, okay? And do you know what that is? See, that one thing, according to my reading and study, is that although members of the Three Self Church can worship, study the Bible, even pray, they cannot evangelize, okay? I mean, that's an agreement that they have with the government. It really depends on the source, but there are approximately 170 million Christians in China. But the majority of them do not go to the Three Self Church. And there are about 57,000, you know, Three Self Churches, and yet most of them go to and be part of a house church or underground church, because to them, being a follower of Christ and evangelism cannot be separated. Right? See, as a church, you know, our main focus for this year will be evangelism. This means our whole church, Korean ministry to the young, to our Sunday school department. And this is why EM goal for this year is to build up, which we do well, but we also need to branch out, right? We need to build up and branch out. But it's odd, and it's very strange to me, because the most of the songs and hymns that we sing focus on our spiritual life, our relationship with God, and even God, but rarely are there songs and hymns about sharing Christ, you know, even though it's an essential part of being a Christian, you know. The point that I want to make is that unless we are intentional about sharing Christ, sharing life, you will get lost in our life songs, and we will only be singing an incomplete song or half a song of what it means to follow Christ, you know. And it's my prayer that the new song that we sing will be a complete song that shares everything about Christ and who we are in Christ and what we must do as his children. You know, the reason why songs are so powerful, okay, is that, you know, they can touch your souls. You know what I mean. You know, songs can make us dance, right? And songs can lift up our spirits and teach us about, you know, life and love. But it can also make us cry. You know, songs could do that. And you know, they can cause us to remain in our sadness too. I mean, if song can have that kind of impact on human hearts, then we have to be careful about what kind of songs we sing with our lives. You know, we have to be responsible over the type of songs that we sing and the songs that we share. And it's my prayer for all of us that, you know, we will be singing a new song, you know, this year that will bring joy and life to those around us and glory and pleasure to God who has given us the reason to sing. You know, let us pray, okay? Let's just take a minute or so to really examine our hearts and really think about what kind of songs, you know, we have been singing. And let's ask God to help us to sing a new song that will bring honor to Him. So let's pray, okay?